So in general, right now, if you see a 55-year-old completely healthy person who has stage 2 disease and no high risk factors, what's that patient, Neil, likely to have as a non-protocol therapy in your practice?
It's probably a 50-50 split between getting fluoropyrimidine or nothing.
Alan?
If they're not a study patient, I would agree. I would use capecitabine alone or not at all, depending on other issues.
Incidentally, what was the fluoropyrimidine you would usually use in this situation?
Capecitabine.
How about you, Axel?
You know, for me, it would be, I sometimes sit down with patients, look at adjuvant online, print it out. It's actually a very nice tool to look at actual potential benefits. And I would actually not even exclude oxaliplatin-based therapy.
Well, the thing that's interesting is in our poster, when we asked the doctors, not just about themselves, but about patients, because we didn't see much difference in this from my point of view, and I think it was certainly not a dramatic difference. I mean, what people recommended and what they did.
And I think there are a subset of patients who get benefit and a subset who don't. That's why I think E5202 as an example is incredibly important, because I think there are two populations.
And of course, just to refresh people's memory, that's looking in terms of
that
markers.
That risk stratifies by deletion in 18q and microsatellite status. And it may not be the right stratifications, and there may be better tools coming along. Genomic Health has another presentation tomorrow,
right,
which is really, I think, very impressive. But to me, there are populations that would be appropriately treated and others who you should leave alone.
Axel?
I mean, stage 2 is known to be a gray zone, and it just, the poster doesn't reflect our internal inconsistencies. And again, this is an area where tests like Genomic Health or any biomarker or whatever, where we can get more information about the patient and the tumor, would be extremely helpful and very well received, because again, you can probably poll 1,000 different physicians and you would never get consistent answers, even in larger sample sizes.
And Neil, you know, in breast cancer, it's been amazing how things have changed in terms of lower-risk patients with the Oncotype. It's like a whole new world. I mean, even though it's not perfect, but now there's something, you know, at least you have some basis to make some decisions and some better numbers. It kind of reminded me a little bit what you're saying about KRAS. You get better numbers to work with.
Yeah, and also within the past year, there have been two important pieces of data to inform the decisions about stage 2 adjuvant therapy. One is the updated data from Mosaic, which clearly demonstrate, in my view, that for patients who do not have high-risk features, there's absolutely no benefit from the addition of oxaliplatin.
You think was there the power to really answer that question?
You know, I think it wasn't powered to answer that question in particular. However, the fact that there's absolutely no difference, I'm convinced of that finding.
For low-risk stage 2, I agree.
For patients without increased risk.
It's, you know, I think a lot of people have confused that with the idea of, quote, there's no benefit to adjuvant therapy.
No, this is FOLFOX versus 5-FU.
I know, but what I'm saying, I think the message has gotten confused a little bit in the community.
Right, and then the other piece of data that recently came out are from the QUASAR study, which is just published in December in The Lancet, showing that for patients with stage 2 disease where the physician felt there was uncertainty about whether to treat, that giving a 5-FU leucovorin regimen improved survival by a few percent compared to those that didn't get adjuvant therapy. Again, it begs the question of high-risk clinical features versus low-risk clinical features, but those were patients enrolled who the physician felt had some uncertainty about what to do.